Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Gavlik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wow, wee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Hello and welcome to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast, Episode 6, Series 11, Robbo.
Series 11.
And I want to start...
He's like Family Guy.
...with a fascinating interview you did last night with Jared Waitley, with Nathan Buckley. How does that work, by the way, that you get this sort of rotisserie of coaches coming through?
Oh, I think Fox has done a deal with the AFL Coaches Association.
Fantastic access.
I think it's... it is great access. But it really adds to the show, but...
Poor old Goody was sitting there for 5 minutes.
I did apologise to him. I said, Goody, I will get you there in a second, but...
Why don't you get him on individually?
Don't know.
Anyway, just an idea. But Buckley...
I'll take that to the powers that be at Fox and say, Mick Warner's got this idea.
No, I just feel sometimes if one of the coaches that you happen to have on is, you know, in the gun or is the...
He picked a bad night to come on.
And then Goody,
to be rostered on.
Goody's Simon pretty Goody. Happy with life, though. Five and zip. We'll get to them. But what about the Nathan Buckley interview? What was your takeaway? Where's he at, do you think, Bucks?
Personal opinion? It's only opinion. Yep. I don't know anything, but I think he's done. I think he's...
done?
Yeah. I'm not done. I think he's reconciled in his own head that this could be his final year. That's what I think.
Based on what his quotes to you, or
I've noticed something in the last couple of press conferences, which is unlike Bucks. I might be wrong, and I'm not a body language expert, and I'm far from it. Last week, Bucks did a press conference a couple of days, or the day after, the day of the story broke that there was, issues with the players and the coach, et cetera, written by Tom Morris. And Bucks did a press conference and he stood up and he had his hands in his hoodie pockets. Just stood there with his hands in his pockets. Just relaxed, calm, nothing's bothering him. And last night he sat at the AFL 360 desk and he had his hands in his pockets, mate. Now, most people sort of, most people put their hands on the table or they use their hands when they talk and whatever. But I just noticed Bucks in previous years is a pretty animated soul. In the last couple of weeks, he's not animated at all.
He does seem a bit flat, doesn't he? But he would be at 1-4. Only thing about that is they will win their next two. They will smash Essendon on Anzac Day, which will surely give them momentum. Now, if they don't,
but they're into playing,
and then they've
now
got the Suns, who we'll talk about later as well.
Yeah, the Suns are away, aren't they?
So they can go 3-4. They can get to 4-4.
They could get to 4-4.
And then it's a different conversation. Pendles was saying he felt even in the last quarter against West Coast, they played better. And
oh, they did. They did.
You've said yourself, we write a lot of teams off. But he is a fascinating figure in all this, Bucks, because...
He's one of the most fascinating figures in my time in football, mate. Now, I started covering football in 95. And the names that jump off the page are a Sheedy, a Malthouse... a Matthews, a Carey, Hurd. Nathan Buckley is in that realm of, they're not personalities, but they're the highest profile people we've got. He has been intertwined, as you said last night, with Collingwood since 1992, 93.
And the biggest club arguably, through all that, Collingwood.
Not Collingwood. Of course, they've been there. But Bucks has been everything to Collingwood. And I just think he may be wrong. He may have reconciled the fact that it could be his last year involved with that footy club.
He made a couple of interesting points, though, about leadership at the club. Graham Wright, he said he's been there 11 weeks. So yep. Graham Wright can't really make a decision. There's no president, Robbo. And it's a critical time for a club not to have a president, I would have thought.
The piece that Glenn McFarlane wrote, and you jumped on the coattails and put your name on the byline. No, that was a really interesting story. When was that, Friday? Yeah, it was last Friday.
Yep.
There's been
Jeff Brown and John Bertram.
Yeah, they're in the mix. Conflict at board level. What? Supporters of Peter Murphy. Supporters of Mark
Corder.
Mark Corder. It's only a small board.
Mm.
And
that small board can't.
He's split.
Yeah,
he's split. Now, one of those people might have to just put their head up and say, "Right, I'm not going to stand." He will be the bigger person, maybe? But do you think Jeff Brown is an option?
He's the only option for me
to be president.
Yeah, I think that he has to become president of Collingwood because he's the guy with the background. He played for Collingwood.
He's got clout.
Reserves, I think.
He's got business clout. He's got football clout.
He comes from that same boys club yeah, system. But
he's right at this critical... He's a card-carrying member.
Yeah, but right at this critical juncture, and for Bucks is what I'm saying, how can Bucks really... who's going to sack Bucks?
Well, it's interesting. There is no board. No, Paul Lecuria is responsible as football director, so I would imagine he'd have a fair bit of say in it. Graham Wright, as you said, has been there for 11 weeks. By the season's end, he'll be there for a season. He'll have some indication. I mean, he's a pretty smart football person.
And then there's Craig Kelly, who's
Craig Kelly, his manager, won't be deciding.
But no, he won't be deciding, but he won't be, as you wrote, letting his man wither on the vine either.
No, he will get a soft landing somewhere, Bucks. The other thing that people have to consider, I think, and maybe Collingwood have already considered it, Mick, is that the wind of change that went through after Maguire was pushed, Jeff Walsh resigned. Do they want to clear the decks? Do they want to? Because they know right now, the board would know right now if Nathan Buckley's a good coach or not. Really? He's been here for 10 years, mate. Yeah. 10 years Bucks has been there.
Mm.
Grand final
prelim not that long ago. Okay.
So what do they need to know, Mick?
Well, the other thing they need to know is who else is available.
Yeah, righto. But
well, they know everything about Bucks.
Absolutely everything. So if they think Bucks is the person to coach this rebuild, and Bucks wants to do it, why wouldn't you appoint him now? So clearly he's not to appoint him now.
1-4, Robbo, it's too soon, I think. But if it goes 1-5 and they lose to Essendon...
The reality is they know if he can coach and they know where they are. The club stuffed up their salary cap and it wasn't his fault. No, and it was a debacle, the trade period. So that's all stuffed up. So Bucks is actually coaching and dealing with what's in front of him. Now, on the weekend, he's played three debutants. He played Keane back. He tried Darcy more forward. You know, I think he would like to coach the rebuild. Now, why is it Collingwood think he is the man to coach the rebuild, regardless if it's 1-4? Right, they've gone down a pathway, mate. They've gone down a path. They've already chosen to go down a pathway. Okay? Now, you can talk about who's the replacements. We always talk about this every bloody coaching, sacking and loss of coach and appointment. Everyone said, who's going to replace Ron Barassi? Who's going to replace... Actually, when you come to think of it, Essendon have been rubbish since Sheedy left.
Well, they
have. Melbourne sacked Norm Smith and haven't done much chop. But the point I'm making is, good coaches come around.
Yeah.
Good coaches come around.
Well, let's move on to another club in crisis. Carlton. You and Ralphie had a big spreads. It was the talk of the town on the Monday night programs.
Where do you think? If you were, if you, Righto, Mark Legutashay gives you a ring and says, Mick, I want you to come in and address the coaching panel and the players. So it's you in front of 38 players and 8-10 coaching panel members.
Mm.
What would you say?
I would say Carlton has been failing since 1996. No, they made a grand final in 99, sorry. So what's that, 22 years? I think Carlton's problems go deeper than the coaches that they've sacked, the players that they've recruited. I go upstairs to the board, which has always been a failed board, even though they've had, you know, huge names, Melbourne names, some of the biggest families. But it's that board, isn't it, that keeps taking charge of these rebuilds, and they keep failing. So who's ultimately responsible, Robbo, for a football club? Is it we fired this coach this manager and this CEO and they kept failing, so we sacked them all? Or is it got to go upstairs to the board? I mean, you know, the Carlton people, are they satisfied with this board? It's been largely the same board for 20 years. You know, the Pratts, the Mathesons, Mark Legutashay has been there for a long time. And
years.
I like Mark and you like him.
He's been president for six.
But, you know, Carlton Football Club.
Is it Mathesons and these...
Pratts.
Pratts, who sit some of them on the board and most of them off the board, who make these big power plays and big decisions. Are they part of the problem?
Well, I'm just saying that...
Are they part of the problem?
Well, if you're looking for a pattern of Carlton, you know, it's their problems have always, to me, stem from the board, starting with the salary cap cheating, and right through to now. They had a period, didn't they? Who was the president who replaced Elliot?
Ian Collins.
No, after him briefly, there was one of the Smorgans, I think it was. But, you know, and then you had Sticks. Sticks and then Dick Pratt for a while. I don't know. How many rebuilds have they had in a row now, Carlton?
It's been a 20-year build.
As you wrote today, their last one with Brisbane started at the same time. And
Brisbane and Carlton were on bottom of the ladder for four consecutive years. They were in the bottom four places for 4 years. Brisbane exploded out of their mediocrity and Carlton is still in it. Now, they've made some improvement in recent years, but...
Carlton?
They've done
everything that they've said. They put out a strategic plan and they said by 2023 we're going to clear the debt, tick. We're going to have 80,000 members on the way to tick. We're going to have revenue, 75 million, tick. You know, but all those off-field things are the easiest ones.
Everyone claps their hands and say, well done.
But anyone,
it's
almost
all on the field.
Not anyone. It's great. It's well done. But the only one the supporters care about is the one that keeps having a cross next to it. Football.
Which is the performance on the field, yeah.
So...
Do you think Stephen Silvani needs to wear some heat?
Yeah, obviously, if the list isn't... I did hear, though, someone say last night the year they picked Dow and...
O'Brien
was a bad draft.
It was a bad draft.
So...
They got one
bad,
player.
It's bad luck when you...
Yeah, they got DeConey.
A bad draft.
Well, they had 3 top 10 picks in 2 years. Mm. And none of the three, mate... None of the three are stamping themselves on this competition, let alone stamping themselves at Carlton. Yeah, I mean, that's their 3 big misses, which is two consecutive drafts. Sam Petrevsky-Seaton was one. They've just, you know what they are? They're a pedestrian football team.
Yeah, so that's to your question, if you were standing in front of the coach. I mean... So that's the broader thing, the club. What about the team?
Like it or not, Carlton used to... Carlton were hated because of their arrogance. Right? They just thought they ran the world, Carlton.
Yeah.
And we all knew Carlton supporters, didn't we? Weren't they annoying? Some of your best mates, and even they were arrogant.
The smug.
Because the Carlton Football Club was arrogant.
Yeah, and they reflected their president, John Elliott.
Oh,
you know,
and I really like John.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but you know, arrogance not necessarily a dirty word.
No, it's not. As I said, some people didn't like it. Carlton's DNA was on it. Now, Carlton have lost that arrogance, and with arrogance, I think I'll give you another example. And I've been in love with Brisbane because I think what Brisbane did was quite spectacular.
What they're doing.
When Fagan took over at Brisbane and they'd have recruiting meetings and they'd say, you can do this and you can do this and you can do this, Fagan would always say, is he tough? He's just come from Hawthorn. He's just watched Burgoyne and Cyril and Lewis and Mitchell and Hodge and Ruffy. Hey, they don't give anyone an inch. So he goes to Brisbane and says, yeah, you can do all that. Can you do it? Is he tough? Yep. Yeah, okay, get him. Jared Berry, tough? Yeah, get him. Bring him in. What about his little brother? Yeah, he's tough. Yep. He's got some talent. Bring him in. Mitch Robinson, yeah, I'll tell you. I think Mitch was already there.
Well, he was at Carlton.
Yeah, but yeah, there's no edge to Carlton, mate.
Mm.
Carlton plays the game. So the ball goes up, and what Carlton do is they just play the game. They don't influence the game with some of the immeasurables like intimidation and aggression and just making opposition think, hang on, if I pick this ball up, I'm going to get tackled. There's no little extras. Carlton are just a pedestrian football club. I think they've got to find an arrogance. They've got to find an edge. You know what? No one's scared of Carlton.
No, but no one was scared of Melbourne either last year, and they've been able to do it. So how isn't that something that Carlton
can look at and say,
we can do this?
Yeah, well, it's part of what Melbourne did was fix up their aggression and fix up their defence. It's a collective, mate. Melbourne have gone from mid-table and bottom table in the last couple of years in defensive mechanisms to number one and number two and number three across 7, 8, 9 defensive aspects of the game. Now, people can say, oh, that takes toughness, but it takes an attitude to say we are not going to give up. We are not going to allow the opposition to walk through us out of the D50. We're not going to allow that. We are going to work. Melbourne play with an edge. You know, even this year, last year was a write-off, 18. You know when you're playing Melbourne, right, you're getting a game. You're getting a hard game. When you play Carlton, you're getting a hard game. No. You know what you're getting? You're getting playing a team that have players who like little dinky kicks. Like Sam Petrefsky-Seaton, right? Clearly, Mick, he has got football talent. You can see it. He's a nice kick.
Is he in the right spot?
Well, no, I don't think he is. But they've tried him as a midfielder. They tried him as a half forward. And he didn't cut it. So they've put him down back to try and use some of that foot skill. But I don't know about your grandfather. Bucks put grandfathers on the agenda last week. So I'm going to ask you about your grandfather. Grandfathers used to say about a player who they didn't think, who thought they were a bit windy, not aggressive enough. They'd say, he's a nice player. He's a nice player. You know what Carlton have got? Carlton have got too many nice players. They have, mate. Are you intimidated?
Eh?
Do you think anyone is intimidated or worried about Carlton when they play?
No. But just looking at it from their fans' perspective.
I know, the fans don't.
We've all been there, and they're up in arms. Now let's talk.
Depends
some positives.
On what you concentrate on, isn't it? The aspect of footy. What do you concentrate on? Moving the ball. Okay, well, you're not moving the ball. You're moving the ball great, but you're not stopping the opposition. So how about we emphasise the areas that we must improve on? It's the same with St Kilda this week. Let's not coach how we can move the ball, because we know you can do that. How about your coach stop the opposition? How about we get the fundamentals right and let the offence take care of itself? Because that's what happens. Offence is always born on defence, isn't it?
It's funny you say that, though, because you've been saying all year that we want to see offensive
footy. I know we do.
When it comes to it, footy is based on, all premierships are based first on defence.
On defence. There's no doubt.
And then
the balance is right now. The game looks better.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted.
But their balance is not right.
Their balance is not right.
Yeah.
You've still got to have defence and you've just got to play with an edge, mate.
Let's move on.
Have we got any callers? Any Carlton supporters out there? Ring in. What's your mobile, Nick? 041.
No, don't go. So one of the joys for me, I love the MCC when the Melbourne Footy Club are up and about.
Were you there on Sunday?
I was there on Sunday.
You were doing the boundary?
Packed on that one side of the ground. And that you can see for the first time that they're going places, Melbourne. But they play Richmond. And I wanted to ask you about Richmond because...
No, stay on Melbourne. You.
Well, they play each other. So
I know, but you do the boundary, right, for 3OW. Is the Melbourne clap?
It's not a clap.
And what is it?
It's a roar. When they kick a goal, because it comes from that one section of the ground, it spews out over the ground.
But is it the same sort of guttural roar as, say, a Richmond?
No.
Or at Collingwood?
It's...
What is it?
It's not quite guttural, but it's...
What is
It's very inspiring. I don't know quite the adjective to describe it, but it's... They have that little thing that no other club has got.
Which is?
That roar, that Melbourne roar when they're up and about. And in that last quarter when they kicked eight, I mean, it's exciting.
It was
and
booming.
When you
it?
Put in 60,000 lunatic Richmond supporters on Saturday night against that crowd, it's going to be, you know,
what is,
I don't know what's happening with COVID, but they should get 90,000. You got the three of the last four premiers against the red hot five and zip. Traka versus Dusty.
A couple of years ago, the crowd, the Melbourne Richmond game got 85. And
the 87.
We went
to that game.
Yeah, we were there, and we were.
That
thinking,
was the first one, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, we were thinking that might.
And they can't. They predicted beat, 60.
Collingwood Essendon,
and they got 85.
And
which is
Collingwood
one of the
Essendon next day got 87.
They
will beat them this week.
No, they won't.
Won't they?
Well,
you just tell me about the Melbourne roar and the.
Yeah,
the Melbourne people are back.
The early ticket sales. Well, ticket sales are all over the shop.
Oh, it's not a disgrace, but it's so disappointing,
isn't it?
It really is disappointing.
But just on Richmond though, because I heard David King say, I want to ask you about this. David King said after Richmond slaughtered St Kilda, and he said this is another extraordinary team performance from Richmond, who are, I think you've said it as well, the best team he's
the
seen.
The best pressure team.
Best team.
I've ever seen.
But then he said, I reckon there's probably only three or four Hall of Famers in this Richmond team. And I was thinking, it's got to be more than that. So I've gone through it, and I want to ask you about, and they're still going, Lee Matthews always says, you'll be judged better after you've finished. The history will judge Richmond more than we currently do. But let's go through some players. Dustin Martin.
He'll end up a legend.
Yep. Koch.
Yep.
Jack Riewoldt.
Yep.
Alex Rance.
You go close. Yep.
Close.
Yeah,
yeah. He's a certainty.
Yeah, well, he was 5-6 time All-Australian, playing the one flag. He'll go.
He was up there with Scarlett, wasn't he?
Yeah. No, you're right.
Titch Edwards.
Yeah, he'll be a Hall of Famer, but he won't be an automatic entry. He might come in 30 years from now. So, like, what? For example,
not sure.
I was talking to Mark McClure about this. When Carlton won three flags in 4 years, 79, 80, missed 81.
Well, that's true.
They won 81. They won 82. They missed 80. And what happened? McClure was saying over the last couple of years, when the Hall of Fame come around, you'd always want to ask me before. I can't tell you. But then we'd always discuss it.
Is he in it?
The next week. No, he's not. But he keeps on saying. They've forgotten that era.
Yeah.
And in the last couple of years, they've put in Ken Hunter. They've put in
Dominator.
Wayne Johnson, the Dominator. Yeah. And he's really pushing for David Swan Mackay to be the next from that era. So I don't think...
Well, it doesn't matter if it's in 30 years.
Yeah,
all I'm saying
Titch
is
Titch will eventually get in.
He could, you know, be... He'll play 300 games, and he's played in three premierships.
Mm.
See, what about Dylan Grimes?
30, 40 years.
Yeah. What about... Yeah, you were going to say Vlosten. He's on a trajectory of a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if Vlosten's next 5 years... are as good as his last 4 years. We'll be pushing Vlosten for team of the century at Richmond, no doubt.
and there's others. Hawley,
probably not.
He's had a pretty good career.
Yeah, he's had a really really good career. There's a lot of players have good careers who are not in the
Anyway, what I'm saying is it's more than three or four. There are better team of champions and people give them credit for, and I'm going with
they're Lee champions Matthews. And champion team. That's why they're so good.
Nank's playing some.
I gotta say, Nank Curvers.
He's on half of Grundy's.
I thought he was best player on the ground on Friday night.
Yeah,
and he got the coach's votes yesterday. The trade for him out of Sydney.
From nowhere.
Has just been extraordinarily successful for Richmond, hasn't it?
Yeah.
What a plus. Who identified it? Was it Francis?
I don't know who it is, but their recruiting team is certainly a pretty good one.
Oh, the recruiting team. It's amazing. And you got a good system and you buy in how good your recruiting is. So that, when you go back to that. Carlton, like, how can so many players not make it at Carlton?
Because they're not good enough. Or the development's not good enough.
Or the culture's not good enough.
Yep.
How come most players who turn up to Richmond, right, you think, God, how good are these players? How can Richmond always get it right?
Yeah.
Through this period?
Because they pick the right players. Now, what do you think of the Bucks excuse on the mobile phone? I thought it was a pretty good one, to be fair.
No, I thought it was being a smart ass.
Hang on. He's got concussion. He can't be judged on his...
Well, that's probably an argument, but I thought he was still being a smart ass.
He also drew attention to the catastrophic cost cuts in clubs. The fact that they actually didn't have a team.
If that was a political statement when he said that. And he said, well, generally you've got someone there looking after that. And he said, I think he was being a smart ass on DeGoey, but I don't think he was being a smart ass here. He said, the cost cuts. Because you've noticed over the last 3 weeks that many coaches are making reference to the cost cuts in this period.
Mm.
Maybe, but what's the excuse for Jeremy Howe? He didn't have a concussion.
No, but he just received his phone. And after the break, I want to talk to you about the man who calls you the karaoke singer, Damien Barrett. Now, we don't really go for tit for tat, do we, Bobbo? But it was interesting your
that's a lie, Mitch. You love tit for tat.
Your exchange with Hutchie last week sort of explaining that you were not the source of the text.
Someone on the panel was suggesting it was someone, the SAC journos at SEN. I've known Hutchie since 1994, I reckon. What's that? 26 years. Have we seen eye to eye all the time? No. Sacked me from SEN? No. That's okay. I mean, there's worse things in life than that. And maybe as I got older, I've become less vengeful, is the right word. But
The karaoke singer moniker that you've got? Damien Barrett hate you and the Herald Sun so much?
He hates the Herald Sun.
No, I think it's you first and then...
Oh, he always snipes at Ralphie and others here.
Landsberger he had a go at for...
Has he sniped at you, Chief?
Yeah. But I'll give you my theory. I think it's because he really wanted Mike Sheehan's job and he didn't get it. And so he left and he holds a grudge. And you got it, so that's why he hates you
the most.
I can't think of any other reason.
I've really got under his skin, haven't I?
Oh, you're in his headspace.
You were telling me before the show that he made up a song about me. How? I don't know. I haven't heard it. I'm really not interested. But how childish is... How old is he? 50? How childish is Barrett, hey? I got no problem telling you. You told me that Barrett sort of put me down because I sent a text message to Hutchison. You know, so... Of course, I'm allowed to send him a text message, and he thought,
I'm not sure that was
an admission of guilt. There's no guilt. If I wanted to abuse Craig and they rang me, I'd put my name to whatever I said. Barrett doesn't like me. Barrett doesn't like the paper. Barrett doesn't like people here. That's fine.
Mm.
He's he's in the same basket as Liam Pickering. Really?
What do you mean by that?
Oh, well, Pickering has a crack all the time. You know what? If they want to engage themselves in hating me, I've got no problem with that. I don't really care. I do not care. Both of them are completely and utterly irrelevant to my life and what I do in footy, what I do for the people who employ me. If they want to continue and have these little snipes and things that's fun, well, good luck to them. I hope they sleep better at night because of it.
What have you made
I never, ever, ever think about them.
Sounds like it. What
that I think about them? No. When have you ever heard me talk about them?
For the last 2 minutes.
Well, you just asked me about them.
I'm joking. What have you made of the...
Well, don't ask me. Hey,
sorry.
I'm serious. Don't ask me next time then.
No, we won't.
And then just say, why am I talking about them when you ask me about them? Well, what do you think?
You
about?
And Barrett got up at that awards night and you said that you'd put and your guns down.
And I told her, and Mark Fine said, don't put them too far away. So you keep asking me about Barrett.
I told you what it is.
What do you think of Barrett?
He's a good journalist. He's
you are pathetic. You are pathetic. You come in and you
want
to say.
What do you want me to say?
The truth. What do you think of Damien Barrett? Just say it, mate.
I'm not sure what I think of him, to be honest. So let's move on. I want to ask you about...
That's pathetic.
I want you to... What have you made of
the...
Bit
tough, Mickey, but when it comes to the crunch, you go to water.
I haven't gone to water. I just don't think about him. And what do I think about? I can't...
Oh, yeah, do. That's what you said to me. You do. You've been speaking about him for the last 10 minutes.
The AFL... the English Premier League, this whole thing about having a new... It's come from nowhere. Extraordinary story.
Imagine writing that. Breaking one of the biggest soccer football stories in the history of the game. It was broken by the Times reporter.
What a scoop.
And he's just gone a bang and sent all of England into meltdown.
And all of the world.
England are melting down. England are melting down more than...
It's the last thing they need with the coronavirus crisis for someone to take their soccer away from them. It's actually a disgrace, that idea. It is an absolute disgrace. And it'll destroy the Premier League, the relegation system.
Oh, it destroys more than that. What will happen? They're going to get like $3.5 billion, right? Or $30 billion,
what?
Or $3
They've
billion.
Already
dollars.
Got
they're already
billion.
Rich because the problem is private ownership. So when they sold these clubs, right, gave them into private ownership and they're owned by people all over the world, they're only dealing with money. They are not feeling the essence of the game,
which is membership
in
base,
England.
Which is a blessing of our competition.
Absolute blessing of our competition, mate. So they're seeing the dollars. They want to play Barcelona, Man U, Liverpool, Real Madrid every Wednesday night, make squillions and squillions of dollars, go back to their local competition, play on the weekends, right? But they're making all this money. So how does Leeds, who got back into the Premier League...
So they're not in it.
So how does it Leeds? West
That's
Ham.
Your team, so you're...
Yeah, West Ham. Oh, name all these teams. They're not going to be in it. They're not going to have the money.
Why? Exactly. It's just...
You've got to earn the right to play in Europe. Now, the other side of that coin is what Jeff Kennett spoke about last year. What word did he use? He spoke about the clubs that needed money. I can't remember the exact word. He was basically...
The
incendiaries, no?
No.
He was talking about the wealthy clubs propping up the weaker clubs.
The five or six clubs who are non... I can't think of the word either.
Yeah.
Assisted, non-assisted.
Yeah. No, they are assisted.
There's your Richmond, Hawthorn... Collingwood, West Coast, those richer clubs.
And he was talking about that the clubs were getting sick and tired of propping up the... he's not the first president to say that. He's the first president to come out publicly and say that. I've spoken to several presidents.
Well, they've met as a block, those rich clubs, several times in the last sort of 12 months.
Well, break away, Jeff.
Not to break away.
No, that was sarcasm. Do you feel sarcasm?
No, it seems sarcasm. Sort of Barrett-like.
Well, break... Break away then, Jeff. Take your six clubs.
He's not threatening
form your
to
own,
break away.
Form your own league.
What he's saying
stop
is,
your whinging.
No,
then.
What he's saying is that those non-performing clubs need to pull their socks up.
Well, they're trying.
And some of them aren't. Well, they pretend.
Who's not trying?
Not trying, but some of them are in huge debt, like St Kilda and Brisbane.
Oh,
they're trying their guts out.
It's not working.
It got me thinking with this English thing is... What would be the pure, if you were to start a league from scratch in Australia, AFL, how would it look? It wouldn't look anything like the current one.
No, absolutely not.
But that's what we love about our game, having said
that. Yeah, but the league started in Victoria.
But still.
Right, but if we're going to start nationally now, how many teams in Western Australia?
Oh, but can they sustain more than two? I don't think they can. It's a very small little town.
Perth?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot other of areas. Money. Yeah, there's other areas. Yeah, but like Patrick Cripps, for example, is from London.
Oh, so you got to put one up where Fife's from or something, and Liam Baker.
Not all from Perth. A lot of talents come out. Yeah. Western Australia has been a strong football state for a long time.
Yeah, but could it have more than two AFL teams?
Well, yep.
You reckon?
Yep.
Yeah, maybe.
South Australia?
Two.
Strong football state. No. How different is it going to be then?
I don't know. I don't think it's going to be.
Three South Australia, three West Australia. How many in Victoria?
Well, this is, if it was pure,
yeah,
probably 10. I don't know.
But you brought up this subject.
I don't know. I'm asking you.
You said it would look like a national state.
Well, two in Sydney.
You'd put two in New South Wales.
It'd probably look exactly the same.
Tasmania.
You have 10.
Tasmania.
You have one in Tassie. One in Canberra.
All right. Would you say, righto, North Melbourne, you can have a team? You wouldn't, mate. You wouldn't. Doggies? I mean, this is exactly what Jeff was talking about, and thank God we're
but
not
the
going
the Doggies
down
are
this path.
One of those non-assisted clubs yeah, now, which is really, amazing performance
really,
from
St.
what
St. Kilda
they
would be in trouble. St. Kilda would be in a lot of trouble. North are making profits. Okay. So they've actually worked really, really hard, some of these clubs.
Yep.
But if you were starting from scratch, there wouldn't be 10 teams in Melbourne, mate.
What do you make of this?
Tasmania?
Well, I want to talk about Tasmania now because the Gold Coast Suns, I thought at the start of the year they'd turn the corner. They beat North, which everyone does now in hindsight, and they almost beat West Coast over there. And I thought, geez, that looks to me like they've got a bit of steel about them this year, that they're not just going to flop. And yet they're at 1-4, and they, I know they've got injuries. Witts and Raoul was a killer, but it seems to be the same old Gold Coast Suns, which brings me to Tassie, because if you did bring in a Tasmanian team, you couldn't let it be as shizen as the Suns have been for 12 years or whatever, 10 years, could you? You'd have to let Tassie succeed straight away, like the Giants did. Now, how do you do that? Well, you have to get the right people, and then concessions, that's going to be the
you
big killer.
You can't just put a team in and say, there you go, you can be successful straight away.
You don't.
You've got to earn the right.
Yeah, but you put the right people in the right places.
To make the right decisions.
From day one.
The Suns has been a...
monumental.
For everyone who's been there, we apologise, but it's been a failure. 10 years in...
Is it more than, on the I second, it's more than 10, isn't it?
That's 10 years.
You said 10th?
10th.
Right.
And their first build didn't work. Didn't happen.
Yep.
Now they're building again. The GWS first build nearly got a premiership. Now they're restocking. They're not having a complete rebuild. Their performance over the last 2 weeks are full of merit, you know. I've always thought, Mick, that, and I've been to both clubs. I went to the Suns many years ago, and they've got a new facility now. I went to the Suns many years ago, and they were in those...
Portables.
And also, I remember being in the staff meeting. I was just lying around on desks and standing around.
I went to one of those.
Portables.
It was exciting.
From the moment I went to the Giants, I felt like I was in a footy club.
Yeah, I've never been to the Giants.
Yeah, I felt it was a footy club. I really did. I haven't been to the Giants since they've got a new facility, so I can't comment on that. But
well, I'll give you something on that. Doing the boundary back when they first started, you do the Saturday night fixtures.
Are you a Hall of Fame member of the Boundary Line Association?
No, I'm not Hall of Fame.
How old are you?
47.
So at 47 years of age, you're still doing
the
Boundary.
You think I could
boundary.
Be the oldest? Oh, no, Mickey Roberts would be the oldest.
Oh, Mickey Roberts is he's a legend.
Yeah, he'd be a legend.
He'd be a legend of the Boundary Riders Association.
You ever done the Boundary?
No.
We'll see.
There's Dipper?
Oh, no, there's... Hang there's on. TV Boundary Riders and then there's radio.
Right, so let's stick with the radio. Now... Yeah. Who are some of the Boundary Rider Radio Hall of Fame?
Dr. Peter Larkins did it for
a
while.
No doubt. He's in the Hall of Fame. Mickey Robbins is a legend. Do we go back to Ellen Martello and all that around the grounds? Are they included?
No, they were in the box.
Righto, so strictly...
I lost my train of thought here.
No, we'll go back to it. I know where you are.
Yeah.
So who else? ABC?
I've seen Mitch Cleary down there this year.
Not Hall of Fame.
No,
yes.
Well, he's a rookie.
He's a rookie. Yeah, he's a rookie. What about some of the... You've been doing it for how long? 10 years.
10 years, yep. Who else is down there?
Jackie Reed's been down there for a while.
She's done two brilliant... She actually was there when Frankie, who was framed unfairly for having a go at the umpire, McLaren. It was not McLaren. Remember he was a call... He was accused, Frankie, the Carlton supporter, of calling the umpire flog.
Yeah.
And luckily Jackie was there on the spot and actually got the truth of that disgraceful saga.
So really, basically when it boils down to it, it's you, Peter Larkins and Michael Roberts.
No, Larkins no longer does it.
Oh, Mickey Roberts. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, shit.
Cool, mate. He did it for years, Peter Larkins.
Absolutely.
And he
actually knew what he was doing.
Yeah, I know. He had the medical
he
expertise.
He could diagnose an injury.
Yeah. Have you got a style? Did you try and base your boundary line on any style that you heard previously?
No. You should do the boundary one day.
Can I honestly, and this is nothing about you, I've never heard you on the boundary. I've never heard you because I'm either at the game or the games are on TV.
So you don't listen to the radio for games on the radio if you're going down the supermarket or...
No, I never go to the supermarket when the games are on. I never go, mate.
Okay.
Seriously.
Just on...
Take that. I did hear you a couple of times driving, but I haven't sat for a whole game to talk about, for example, the crowd... Getting up at a Melbourne game like last Sunday.
Do you talk about that? Not really. It's more about just informing the listeners about injuries and rotations and
Do you count the interchange rotations?
You know, Hawthorne clearly taking on the corridor early against Melbourne.
We've got Lee Matthews in the box to do that, haven't we?
I said, Lee, have you noticed? Talking about the rooms.
Yeah.
And I remember the first year of the Gold Coast, I went into their rooms.
Yep.
And there was no one there, which is, you know, because they were playing in Melbourne.
Understandable.
No, because then I went into the Giants' rooms for the following week, and it was packed. It was like
parents.
Being at the Shepparton local conference. There was parents, there was beers, there was... And I thought, these guys know what they're doing. Like what you said is they're forming a club.
A footy club.
Gubby was there. Sheeds, Choco was there. There was the experienced players.
And parents and family members, they're all invited in. Come and share the experience.
And it's a club, which is what you said. So when Tassie starts, that's what they got to do.
They will.
Well, why will they? The last time they set up the Suns, none of that happened.
Because Tassie's a footy state, mate. Part of their social fabric always has been small town, larger towns, going in and supporting the footy team. And part of that is you go in the rooms, and after that you're going for a beer.
Yeah.
It's part of the social fabric.
What should it be
Gold
called?
Gold Coast? Is that part of the social fabric? In some of the footy clubs...
No, it wasn't at the GWS either. You create it by putting the right... Like I've always said, the six key post holders at the Suns when they started had never done the job before. The president, the CEO, the coach, the captain, the football boss... None of them had ever served in those roles before. Mm. Don't you find that in hindsight spectacularly poor decision-making?
Yeah.
Whereas at the Giants, Sheeds, you know, everyone was laughing at him, but he was still Kevin Sheedy. He knew what a football club's fabric looked like.
People end up with a bit of mud in their face when they laugh at Kevin Sheedy.
Yeah.
He knows and has done
What's happened to Essendon since Kevin Sheedy?
He's done so much for this Kevin and... A few of your friends at 3AW always wonder what Kevin Sheedy's doing at Essendon.
Sorry?
Caroline Wilson always says, what is Kevin Sheedy doing at Essendon? I think you've got to understand football clubs. You know, I spoke to Sheedy recently, not recently, 3 weeks ago. I said, what have you been up to? This week I've taken the 2000 Premiership Cup to here, here and here. And I've had lunch and dinners with three of the biggest catering groups we got here. Just keeping informed what we're doing, what pathway we're going down with the kids. That's what Kevin Sheedy's doing. Right? He is keeping
he's an
a
ambassador
football. He's
and
a board member by name, but he's helping a football club in any aspect that he can possibly help. If Ben Rutten wants to ring him up and talk about something, he'll talk to Ben Rutten. Is Kevin Sheedy up there deciding on on financial strategies and commercial strategies. No, he's not. He's not there for that. Football clubs. What's Neil Baum? Neil Baum at Richmond. They're footy club people.
Yeah, experienced, level-headed.
They keep a calmness around the place, and I
say something when it's needed.
Yeah, I'm just surprised. I mean, I'm having a go at Caro, but Caro always brings up. Oh, I'm still amazed that Kevin Sheedy's. What is he doing there? That's what he's doing.
I remember Lingy telling me after Geelong got into their first grand final. 2007. And he said, we've won the prelim, we're in the rooms, and we're just off our heads. We don't know what's going on. We're thinking about how do we get tickets. And he said, Barmy stood up and said, hey, I've been here before. This is where it's going to go. Don't worry about the tickets. This is what's going to happen with buses. Training will be on this day. And he said it was the greatest thing that ever happened to them.
Just calmed everyone down.
And again, when Richmond got through, beat the Giants, same thing. They're going, what the hell's just happened? Barmy got up, hey, and they're the sort of people that Gold Coast never had. On that.
No, you're right.
People like Pagan, Sheedy.
You do clip, you really stop one subject matter and go straight on to the next. Enough of that, right, next.
Pagan, Sheedy, Malthouse,
yep.
Matthews, Kevin Bartlett. Why isn't anyone like that on the AFL Commission? Why do you have to be a finance, merchant, banker, entrepreneur, interstate residing, suit wearing? You know, expert. Why don't we have pure football people on our commission?
At least be represented in a chair on the, was it seven
no, I
person?
Think it's more than
eight,
that.
Eight person?
I don't know. I think it's nine.
Is it really? Okay, nine. Now, I agree with you. Absolutely agree with you. But they like to keep it a closed shop and they handpick people to come on.
Yeah, but footy's the core product.
Yeah, I know it is. I can remember when Michael Long wanted to go on the commission.
Very much. And
the AFL said no.
Why?
Well, they never really explained it. The AFL sometimes explains, often they don't explain.
I think Kevin Bartlett would be a great commissioner. Now, people would laugh.
No, I wouldn't laugh at all.
But
at all.
He's sort of, all these people get sort of discarded in football. Like Dennis Pagan's missed disappearance from football to become a horse racing champion trainer is just so mystifying to me.
Well,
they're great footy people.
You know, you can blame Carlton for that.
Well, you probably can.
Well, he got attracted to Carlton by Jack Elliott. Jack Elliott got thrown out in a spill or resigned before the vote, and Collins took over. As soon as Pagan took over, they lost all their draft picks and got fined $1 million. Pagan picked up the scraps.
And got spat out of the system.
The senior players, I don't think, got on well with Dennis. Dennis believed he had the younger players, and he may have. Carlton were in free fall, and one of the great coaching careers come to an end, and he never went back. Dennis Pagan, clearly he was an animal as a coach. Very demanding. But I think I played in every preliminary final from 1994 to
And he's under 19 success.
But your point about good football people going on the commission, I think that's a wonderful idea.
But how do those people must feel about the way that they do get sort of...
It's funny, you know. I don't know if you like Sam Newman or not. Do you like Sam Newman?
I like parts of him.
That's all right.
He mate, he says
very rarely can you like everything about another person. And I like Sam, and we're opposed on a few things. But it dawned on me that the Brownlow Medal, Sam Newman said since he retired, he's never been invited to the Brownlow Medal.
It's extraordinary. Why?
I don't know. Is Kevin Bartlett invited to the Brownlow Medal? Now, they might not have enough tables.
Well, he's a legend, so he probably does.
He probably is. He is. Just I'd think of another person. I don't know. Anyway, Sam Newman. And I thought to myself, isn't it funny in the world that we live in? I get invited every year. What have I done for the game? I work at the game. I cover the game. You know, do our past champions, are they forgotten? Now, there's a 200 club. There's a 300 life members club. There is a 200 AFL, you know, players club. Maybe not. But just made me think when you mentioned...
Mm.
do our champions and great football people, are they utilised by the AFL?
Not by the AFL. The media picks them up a lot. But
Kevin Bartlett's been in media since 1984, no, except when he was coaching. I don't think there's...
Well, he was on the rules
committee. Is there a newspaper or a radio station that KB hasn't worked at?
No. He was on the rules committee, which brings me to the competition committee. I know you think it's a little bit boring.
No, I just didn't think you should promote it.
Okay. We had Justin Reeves on from Hawthorn on AW, and at the end I said, oh, you're on the competition committee. When did you last meet?
I heard you have this discussion.
When are you meeting next?
You had this discussion on Sunday, didn't you?
Yeah. So
can we bring new news to the podcast?
Well, for our loyal listeners.
Yeah.
He said that they met last October.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks before the granny. And I asked the AFL yesterday, Jay Allen, and they said they're not going to meet until the middle of this year. So what's that? 8, 10, 9 months or something. What is the point of having a competition committee? And is it basically been disbanded? And the AFL have just said they're not going to announce it, but they're just going to do it themselves.
Think they're going to just bring them in once a year and update them on what they're doing.
So it's not really a committee, is it?
No.
That comes out with rules.
What is the football department at the AFL?
What is it?
Who's on it, do you know?
Well, Hocking runs it. Brad Scott left it. He's now running AFL Vic.
I didn't ask who's on it.
Well, I don't know. You're the chief football reporter.
How many people do you think would be on it?
25.
Let's play some think music for a second there, Matty. I'm just going to get a media guide. The AFL Football Operations Subcommittee.
What's that? I never heard of it.
What's the AFL Football Operations Department?
Right.
AFL Football Operations, Steve Hocking is the AFL Football Operations.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. We are?
One, two, three. What sort of music was being played there? Opera, just...
Get on with
lift,
it.
Lift music.
Lift music. I hate lift music, by the way.
AFL Operations Subcommittee. Steve Hocking.
Yep.
Rob Old.
Oh, yes. Travis's brother.
Yeah. Tom Gaston. Jenny Loughnan. Jim Neville. Nadine Rabar.
She's a media
Sophia
officer.
Samartis. Jess Smith. And Grant Williams.
Trio, Gil McLaughlin's old coach, Uni Blues.
Grant Williams was.
Yep. So they're the football operator. I think there's a few more than that. There was the former Adelaide Geelong Premiership player, Podsy Adley, was on the...
He's not there now.
Isn't he? Is he gone, is he?
No, they were all on the
Rath.
David Rath on the game analysis.
Has that been disbanded as well?
I don't know if it's been disbanded. Maybe it's been taken up by, you know, Old and Grant Williams. But I just don't know if the football department at the AFL is as big as what many people would think. And that's why the competition committee, I think, was a really good idea to bring in so many sort of varied voices from the different levels of football. You know, coaches and presidents and who else? Players.
I'm not sure if it was the right body to be making rules, though.
Well, who is to make the
rules committee that we had
but
for 20 years? We had Bartlett and Matthews and
Matthews
Luke
on
Darcy
it,
and those sort of people who have played the game. I think, to be fair, you need to have certainly a majority of the people have played the game to be on a rules committee, umpired the game, administered the game, and then...
The competition committee had a cross-section of good people who really...
All it was leadership by consensus.
Yeah, that's all it was. That's just Steve Hocking likes to gather opinions.
Well, it doesn't anymore. Like, he's made up the Standrel, which, you know, obviously, which is
good on him,
an artificial way of fixing a problem that they could have fixed with the rotations on his own.
Do you think Steve Hocking? Do you think it was a good move by Steve Hocking to introduce the man the moat rule?
I thought that it was a means to an end that they could have got
anyway,
to.
Is it
yes
or no?
Yes-ish.
Jeez, I really
yes-ish.
Have to twist your
arm. No, because I've told you this before. As a fan, I hate watching it. I'm frustrated for the player
Something
on the mark.
Has to change now.
And
regards.
I'm very frustrated for the player on the mark when it's a shot for goal.
No doubt.
Can't move
that has to change.
But it won't change.
But No, see, what Hocking has
said... He said last week it won't change.
When did he say that?
He was on... interviewed, and he said it's not going to be changed.
Where was he interviewed?
On radio, I
with
think.
With Dwayne Russell.
Or was he on... No, he was on Classified.
With Eddie.
And he said it wouldn't be changed.
Well... footy's got to do is stop making people look stupid by the rules. Okay.
Well, the man on the mark looks stupid.
This man on the mark. Did you say the Mac's gone late last quarter, shot for goal?
He wouldn't have kicked that in the previous 150 years.
So Mac's gone is go galloping in, and then he veers to the right, and the umpire doesn't call play on, and when Max kicks it, it's almost as if the guy on the mark's still standing where he was. That's not right.
No.
That's making that person and that's making our game look stupid. In the AFL, all they have to do in one announcement is send out a press release and say, hey, we think the man on the mark around the ground's been superb. But when you're shooting for goal, you're allowed to slide across. Mate, that's one adjustment.
Why don't you give them a call today and do all the football fans a favour and get that rule changed?
Get Damien Barrett to do it. He works down there.
And on that note, we will be back.
Bye-bye.
Next week.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.